change his face. You put a woman's back against the wall.
Do it on my own, do it on my own.
What you think she gonna do?
Do it on my own.
I know what I'ma do.
Do it on my own, do it on my own. Do it on my own, do it on my own.
Do it on my own.
No, I don't.
Hey, you guys, welcome to episode 4 of Mommy and Wild Black, the podcast where we talk about everything that deals with Mommy and Wild Black. We'll discuss health, spirituality, self-growth, and relationships. So on today's episodes, I have a guest. Her name is Toni.
Hi, guys.
Say your last name, Blaze.
Yes, how y'all doing?
Toni Glaze, she is the CEO and founder of Toni by Toni. So if you follow my personal social media page, for the holidays, I posted a pajama set that I had on, pajama llamas or llama pajamas. These Christmas pajamas, which were super dope. And so I will drop a link on the podcast at the end for my public IG page, where you can see that video for those pajamas. But anyway, they were super amazing.
Thank
and in
you.
The process of girl, thank you. So in the process of ordering these for a photo shoot, which is a whole story in itself, because I ordered those pajamas, asked for them to be sent next day, yeah, and y'all wasn't shipping out pajamas at the time when I placed the order. These was all pre-orders. And so in the midst of developing that relationship pretty much over customer service,
yeah,
then we bonded, and now you stuck with me. So
and it's a good stuck to be stuck in, okay?
Look, so we stuck together, fam bam. So all right, so let's tell us a little bit about you, like your family life and stuff.
Yeah, sure. So I'm married. My husband, his name is Corey. He's the co-founder of Toni by Toni. And we have one son together named Toni, who was our muse and our inspiration. So I'm Toni with the I. Our son is Toni with the Y. So together we make Toni by Toni, literally and figuratively, if you will. I made him. I mean, I had, half on a baby, but same thing. And so, like, the dynamic of our family is like, I've been married, going almost 7 years, but we've been together 11. We were one of those types of families and, that wanted to kind of wait a little bit until after we experienced life before we actually started a family. And so we're kind of up there, right, age-wise, but we enjoy traveling. My husband works for the federal government, and I'm in medical sales by day. So this whole Toni by Toni was a baby, another baby in itself, a hustle and a dream. And so, he's from Alabama. I'm originally from Kansas, and we just traveled.
Girl, I would have never thanked you for Kansas.
Yes, yes. So I'm a military brat, as they say. And so I was born in Leavenworth, Kansas. Actually Junction City, Kansas, and grew up in Leavenworth, where the prison is. And, my parents are military. We moved around a lot. And last place we stationed was in Texas. Even my husband, actually, he was in the Air Force. So we have some like kind of military background to both of us. But that's the Glaze family. And that's a little bit about our dynamic.
Nice. Well, first off, thank you for your family service and your husband's service. Like, that's super dope. I always have a genuine respect for you're okay, sweetheart. A genuine respect and admiration for those that serve in the military. So definitely, Corey, thank you for your service. So let's back up for a sec. FYI, y'all, all the listeners for tuning in. We are at a park. So we definitely took it to another level with unorthodox being the new normal. Because we are definitely recording this out at the park. What was supposed to be a sunny day is an overcast day. It's currently drizzling.
Yep.
And it's cold. So it's raining. It's cold. And we out here at this park with the little ones. So Bam and Toni had a little play date. And so Yeah. So you're going to hear people in the background and you definitely going to hear these children. But yeah. That's what Mommy NY Black is all about. Like, there's no days off. It's 24/7, 365.
That's right.
So, all right. So let's back up for a sec. So, so you and Corey met in Houston.
Yeah, we met in Houston.
Uh-huh. Okay. Okay.
So it's actually kind of funny how we met. It's a funny story, really. So I know y'all remember MySpace from like way back in the day, like before there was really a Facebook. There was, you know, and before that there was Black Planet.
I was just about
and,
to say, girl, you know, I love Black Planet.
Yeah, I love Black Planet.
I mean, I was in high school on Black Planet, but I'm like,
I was
love
in high school
Black
too.
Planet.
I had my name on there. It's like Yellowbone 03. It was like, it was crazy. So, but we were both on MySpace, and so it's kind of crazy.
So first off, let's time out because this day, flag on the play. So heads up, this is going to be a two-part series. this day has been interesting. So we started off, listeners, ladies. So we started off, and gents, because some men probably are listening too. So we started off this day with a plan a week ago. Then we were going to get the boys together. They would do a play date and we would meet at Hooray Playground in Katy, or we would meet at Katy City Park, yeah, Mary Jo Peckham Park. And we were going to do that on Sunday. Now, a week ago, the weather was amazing. It was all good. And then inevitably last night it gets windy, it's raining, and we're like, okay. I'm like, we're going to see what happens. So, and then when you text me this morning, I guess it had rained over here. Had not? Okay, so I feel like whenever the weather is bad, it's always worse in Katy first.
That makes sense.
I'm like, all right, man, the park is out. Let's do Hooray Playground. So, listeners, we get to Hooray Playground, and I pull up. We done got the food. The boys are eating. We go inside. And they take their shoes off and they running around. And then there was a kid in there who looked like something from Silent Hill, people who play video games. He looked sick. The circles around his eyes, everything. I'm like, this kid is, the only thing he was missing was a hospital gown and his bangs in his nose, you know, the little wire things, whatever it is. So I'm the oxygen. So I'm just like, why is he here? And when that girl checked him in, you didn't see he looked like he sick.
Yeah.
And so his dad got on a mask. He don't have on it. And you know, they tell us the kids don't need to have on masks. So I'm like, nah, they need to have on a mask.
Right.
So
they didn't went upstairs anyway.
Oh, they took the boys. All right. So
they just followed behind daddy. He probably gonna come back down here in a second. Like, what the hell y'all doing? Look, whatever keeps them away so we can finish.
Look, so next thing you know, little Tony comes and is like, hey, I can't get on the slide. So we go over there to try to show him how to get on, and that's when I see it. The boy is sneezing.
Oh, speaking of.
Rubbing his nose and everything. Bless you. Rubbing his nose and stuff. And so I was like, other parents was looking. I was like, you know what, sis, it's time to go.
Yeah,
it's time to go. Let's round them up. Let's go. And so at this point, we had only been there not even 30 minutes. I think when I looked at my watch, it was like 23 minutes or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep in mind, we had sat in the car finishing our Raising Cane's before we came in. So
exactly.
So like we was only there 10 minutes.
Exactly. To be honest, to be real. So 10 minutes. So we was like, we're going to leave. We get in the car, get on 99, and it starts sprinkling. I'm like, let's just try to, we was like on our phones looking for indoor parks, places to bring them. So then sis was like, let's just go to the park. Let's see what it's looking like. I'm like, well, I got towels in the back of my car so we can always wipe down the slide. That way, you know, their clothes not wet and they can still go play. So we pull up to the park. There's barely anybody out there. So we get out there and shortly after being out there, they playing around. We trying to keep an eye on them, trying to start talking. We get ready to start recording, and this big-ass squirrel comes up. So the squirrel rolls up on us. And when she and when sis said something, I low key got scared. I lifted my feet up because I'm like, whoa, what is it? You know, whatever. And I usually got a sixth sense for that stuff. But I think because Bam was there, like right there, I missed it. So the squirrel comes up, and this squirrel is a gangster. He not scared. He like, where the food at? Where the money reside? Where the peanuts reside? He like, where it's at? So seriously, he wasn't gonna leave till we gave him some food. So I opened up one of Bam's applesauce pouches and I dumped the applesauce on the ground. So the squirrel eats the applesauce. And then sis was like giving him macaroni, does not cook. Squirrel picked up a piece, threw it out. Picked up another. I was like, it's son, it ain't gonna happen. It's too hot. So squirrel eats the applesauce. We finally
first
started.
First of all, the macaroni was like the Kraft cheesy macaroni, like the gold that you pour the hot water in. So
yeah, so it's hard. It's hard macaroni.
But it wasn't like I was running around with a box of macaroni. It was like the individual serve size for the kids. He'd eat at his auntie's house. I was like, here, take these noodles, little squirrel. Go on now.
Nah, the squirrel was like, no. So then we finally start recording, and some person running for KDISD, which is Katy Independent School District, was at the park. They pull up, and then these people walk up to the table like they don't even see us talking.
No mask
start
on.
Asking, no mask on. Start asking us questions. Do y'all live in Katy? Do y'all live in Katy? Are y'all voting? You know, and I'm like, y'all don't see us doing something?
But hold on, wait. You forgot about the birthday party and them coming to tell us it was reserved and we had to go.
You know what? You're right. Because we did go and sit. In the area and under the cabana. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. The duck's not flying over here, so we don't got to worry about that. No pollen and stuff on the chest. I was like, this is perfect. And then this guy walked up and was like, hey, ladies, we reserved this area for 2:30. And I was like, all right, he was white though. I bet you he was probably like, oh, thank God there wasn't no angry black women.
Oh, somebody else that walked up. You didn't even see him. He walked up and he looked and then he turned around.
I saw that. He was older. Yeah. He did a U-turn and he was like, I said, well, he don't want that action. That Biden got elected action, that energy. So he was like, he bust the U-turn. I saw that. And then the other dude came up with the kid. I wasn't gonna say nothing. I was like, whatever. But then he did. So Touche, he did say that. So that happened. Then we went to the other table. Then the gangster squirrel rolls up. So then it starts raining. We like, look, forget it. We about to dip. And then sis was like, hey, let's just go to my house. The boys can run around and we can record, you know, whatever. So
you got
we it. Get to her house. Well, we headed to her house. So en route, we leaving from Katy. And we was on 10 and we hit 59. And that was 59 South, right? Yeah, 59 South.
Mm-hmm.
So we get 59 South, and what were we next to? What was the name of that place?
It's like
said?
The George R. Brown before it split off to 45 North or South.
Yeah, let me tell you something. So when we in that curve going to the right, I see this white, so this gray pickup truck went by me first because we was in the far right lane and they was in the left lane.
They drove by first.
Don't do that, son.
Hey, you better not do it again.
So,
either.
This white Infiniti SUV comes racing up behind me. So I'm like, let me get over because sis got over into the left lane. So I got over into the left lane as well. So when I get over into the left lane, the SUV gets over right behind me, but they on my bumper. So I need to get over again. And I see them getting over. I said, you know what? And I'm on the phone talking to her. I'm like, I'm going to just let them go. You know, whatever. Now, Tony way ahead of me, a little, not way ahead where I can't see, but she's further ahead of me. So I'm like, I'm going to let them go. And they get in the lane that is the lane Tony's in. So I started to get over and I saw this red Altima coming up and they wasn't like super speeding or anything, but I decided I'm going to let them go and I'll get over in the clear because I saw that there was nobody behind the Altima. So I was like, I'll get over then.
So what, baby?
He was like this reckless driver keeps trying to drive away in this car. Boo. Look. Can y'all go watch Jurassic World?
All right, baby. So we get over. So I get over behind the red Altima. As I'm getting into the lane behind the red Altima, I tell sis, I said, she not stopping. Y'all about to get hit. And so she's telling me,
no,
I'm not about to get hit.
And so she was like, she's stopping. And then right after that, she said that simultaneously, I hear in my AirPod the boom from the impact. And then I also hear it in my left ear outside, through my window.
It was crazy. I'm sitting up here like, yo, that's
a three-car accident. No. The Altima hits the Infiniti because the Infiniti didn't put on brakes. Mm. She waited to the last minute to put on brakes. You guys were already coming to a stop. That's how I knew. I was like, when I didn't see her braking, I was like, she not even paying attention. She about to hit y'all. Yeah. Like, so there was no way for her to get over because people was coming in either lane. So yeah. she was going to hit somebody. It was a matter of who she was going to hit.
Right.
So that's why I was telling you, I was like, y'all about to get hit. And then she ended up coming to the stop, but the Altima ended up hitting her because she put on brakes abruptly. So the Altima slams into her and then she hits the back of your car. And let me tell y'all, it's nothing but God. You have to pray and you pray for protection over yourself and over your kids because little Tony was sleeping in the car. Never woke up on the impact. And when she got out of that car, there was not a scratch or anything on that car. Nothing on that car. Meanwhile, the Altima tore up. The back of the Altima got shows damage on it from impact of getting hit. I mean, yeah, the Infiniti. And because the Altima hit the Infiniti and just nothing but God. And so that being said, let me tell y'all, it has been a hell of a moment to get to this point of doing this podcast.
Yeah.
So like right now, we drinking margaritas. Kids is making noise. They watching Jurassic Park. We eating pizza. And like, this is life. This is life. 24/7, 365, mommy. And just like, man, God is like amazing. God is amazing.
And it's kind of crazy, actually, how we met on MySpace. Because at the time, apparently, Corey had moved to Houston and he was on MySpace, kind of like how I was already on MySpace. And so I went through this like crazy breakup and I had to like stop checking my MySpace. And every time I would log in, it'd be like a bunch of messages and I would just be like, select all, delete. And so then it just so happened that like one year I was just kind of like going through MySpace and I seen this guy's page and his name was Glaze. And I was like, oh, he must think he fresh because, Glaze, like dripping glaze strawberries. And so it's kind of like what I was thinking because at the time my name was Envy. So his like, he used to have
so
a black
name was Yellowbone 03 on Black Planet and then Envy on MySpace.
Correct.
That's a whole nother story in itself, how you figure out them names. But I digress for a second. Okay, so go ahead.
Yeah, so it was crazy. So I remember, how they used to have those like little like headers or slogans like on MySpace, mm-hmm. and it's just like, it is still tricking if you got it, rappers lying to you. And I thought it was kind of funny. And so I was just like, LOL at, your tagline or whatever. And so it was just like, oh, how are you? Whatever. So we kind of talked back and forth. We talked for like several months, but nothing was ever like, hey, like, let's go on a date. Let's exchange numbers. It's just like, what you getting into this weekend? Oh, I don't really, go out too much, but I'm going to do this. It's like, oh, I got a friend that's in from out of town. Like, oh, it just so happens I'm going to be out of town. Like, we would always miss each other. And so one day I was out and I was celebrating. I think this is like my 25th birthday. By the way, I'll be 36 this year. So there was my
36.
11 years. And
36 years young.
Yes, 36 years young. And we went out to this place. At that point, it was called Scott Gertner's. Anybody that's been to Houston, remember Scott Gertner's, which is now called Prospect Park. But we went, me and my girls, we was out just kind of like, moving around. And I saw this dude, like, dang, he looked familiar. And I went up and I was like, is your name Glaze? on MySpace, it was like, he looked at me, he was like, and you Envy, right? And I was like, yeah. So it was just like, he said, hey, I'd like to take you off for your birthday. And he was like, you want to go to dinner? And so we planned something like the next week. And we
it was like, I'll never forget, it was May 9th because my birthday is on the 2nd. And we were sitting down and we were just talking. I was actually supposed to go out to the club with my homegirls that night. And they were just like, yeah, yeah. And I was like, yeah, so you know how this thing go, girl. You know, I'm only going to be there for about 2 hours. Go give me a little bite to eat for free. And we should be able to step out about 10 o'clock. Just, you know, I'll come change my clothes. We roll out. So it's like 11 o'clock. They're like, hello. I thought you said you was leaving. I was like, oh, it's great conversation, you know, whatever. And we found out that both our brothers and our sister's birthday was that same day. So both of their birthdays was on May 9th. It was like, man, how crazy is that, you know? And we just kept shopping it up from there. And so then I don't think he told me until maybe 2 years later that he actually had messaged me on MySpace in 2008, a whole year before I messaged him. I never read the message and I never received the message.
When you did that bulk delete?
I must have deleted him. Yep. So I never saw his message. But I always talk about timing and how God wants things to unfold.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
He said, you know, in 2008, I wasn't ready to meet you.
Amen.
2008, he had just got out of a relationship. You know, was kind of get over some stuff with himself. And he was like, yeah, that wasn't a good year to meet me. Mm-hmm. Like,
And probably at that time, a year before, you was probably in a relationship. Because you said when y'all connected, you had just gotten out of one.
Yep.
So, yeah, man, that's a whole nother story by itself. It's another podcast episode about God's timing. So I was never on MySpace. I was on Black Planet. My girl, I've always been all black, black. Black Planet. And my name was Mahogany Kisses on Black Planet. And I don't even know why, because I'm like hella light. There's no mahogany nowhere. So
maybe you like the mahogany kisses is what she was trying to say. Come on, chocolate brother. Come on out with all types of chocolate. Milk, dark, whatever you got.
Look, say less. But that's, yeah, you're not lying there. God's timing is everything. Like, man, a year later, so he shot his shot. You both deleted him.
Yep.
And then you reached out. And
just randomly.
And then y'all happen to be in the same place at the same time. And then you walk up, you glaze. And then you envy. That's crazy.
Yeah. And then it was like funny because then he was like, no, that's really my last name. I like your legal last name. He was like, yeah, Glaze. And I was like, oh, for real? Wow, that's wild. So yeah. Erica Glaze, y'all. Tony Glaze. Same thing.
Look. That's dope. All right. So tell us a little bit about the little one. So you both have one child together, son, and we talked about Tony. Of course, his first name is Corey, so he's named after his father. But tell me a little bit about him and how that's changed your life in terms of mommy, like who you were pre-Corey and then who you are since then.
You know, the funny thing about all of that is that I was never the little girl that aspired to be like, oh, I can't wait until I have a family and be a wife. And I was never that type of
ooh,
kid.
Oh, girl, me and you, see, sis?
My Barbie dolls had jobs. And my Barbie dolls, like, dead ass. Like, they would be like, all right, girl, you working on this and you're building this. And they were always, like, empowered. So I always felt like I was always independent, even from a young, like, you know, child or whatever. So the idea of family to me was different. I grew up in like a divorced, almost single, you know, parent type household. And so I felt like my thought of that was different. So I waited later on in life, but I wanted to experience things before we actually started a family. And both my husband and I kind of agreed on that. I think he might've been ready earlier than I admitted to, or he admitted to. And so
yeah, we doing a slight break for just a second. We ordered pizza for the boys, so Papa John's is rolling up to the door right now. He coming to the door.
Yeah, we should hear the little ring notification in a second. But so how Tony changed my life is I had this, if anybody knows anything about me, I am a planner to the T. I can tell you how everything is going to be, how it's going to unfold in my life. Oh, go ahead and get it. Want me to grab it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can get it. Let's see. Your house might be too high tech for him.
Yeah, what's a little basket?
So he's just, he at the door trying to figure it out.
Thank you.
So you said you're a planner to the T. So here's the thing. Let me tell you. I say all the time, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Because you can do all the planning you want to, and God will be like, oh, no, that's not how it's about to go.
No, not at all. And so.
I want to read the game.
Another one's coming on, baby. Oh, wait, that was the end of it? I'm sorry. That's right. It might only been 3 episodes left. Let me restart the season.
You see the kids? We in here. They're watching Jurassic World on Netflix. So both of the boys, Bam, and I call him
Little Tony. Mama calls him Corey or CT. And then everybody else calls him Tony. But the boys are into dinosaurs, so they are currently watching Jurassic World on Netflix. So we got to stop and get them. And you might hear occasional roar in the background, y'all. So, all right. So you a planner to the T.
Planner to the T. And like you said, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. I had always thought that I would, at my career, I would travel. I would start a business. And then from there, I would have family. And it would just kind of go from there. And in my career, as I was working, because I'm in sales, just like we both, you know, talked about. So I'm in medical sales and some capital equipment. And I was like, okay, I'm going to get these jobs everything I want because I want to hit President's Club. I want to get this accolade, and then I can tail back and have my baby. And the irony is that when I had Tony, yes, it changed everything for me. Was he planned? Most certainly, because I knew I wanted to have a family when we moved into our home. But it was one of those things where it happened so quickly because you hear these stories of people saying they've been trying for months or like trying for a year. I literally got pregnant in 60 days of actually saying I was trying, you know, to have a baby. And I think it happened just so quickly. It was like at a time of my life where it was like, oh, wow. You know, I was just about to, you know, enjoy moving into a new home and being closer into the city. I was just about to do all these different things. And so once he finally got here, it was after he was born, that is, it gave me a different sense of self. Like prior to, it was definitely about me. Yeah. Like I could travel for work, stay overnight and not worry about really anything else besides, you know, myself. And it's like, hey, if I want to bring something to go home, that was cool. But the whole structure of making yourself available, pumping milk and, you know, so it really made me have to think outside of just myself. And I love that. It also made me so much more nurturing. Prior to, it was like I was living a married, single life. And not saying like single as in I ain't got nobody, but more so in that single, and it was just about me. So if it's like, you know, my husband and I are on completely two different work schedules. So he's not a normal 9-to-5er where there's his weekends. It never affected me before to even think about like, oh, okay, well, he's off on these days and I'm off on these days. It's more like, okay, well, when the weekends you working, so, you know, these are normally couples nights and whatever. It's like, okay, I can hang out with my girls or, you know, whatever. And our date nights will most likely be like during the week. So like on a Monday or Tuesday, which were slow days for work. So it was just like a flow that just seemed to work for us. So I really didn't have a whole lot of accountability outside of myself, because when you work opposite shifts, relationally, it's great because that missing you thing, because he would normally work, you know, weekends and he would work like evenings. So when we had our time together, it was great. We would see each other, you know, when he came home and all those other types of things. So in contrast of what my life was into becoming a mom, like I said, we're on these different schedules. That was the first thing that hit. This baby gets here, this baby is crying, you're on maternity leave, and you're like, okay, I got 3 months, he only got one. Oh yeah, I got this, until you're like, you're calling your friends and are like, well, it's the weekend, girl, and I'm about to go turn up. And you're like, okay, I got the baby, and my husband's at work, and I can't get nobody to just watch my baby because I want to go out for the weekend, and at the same time, do I really want to? Like, you know, and so, I finally got to see myself transition from being like this person that was, I wouldn't say self-absorbed, but where it was about me, to almost losing a sense of self and like injecting my entire life into this like little person. So you sacrifice so much. It's like I would care about my hair, my nails, a certain routine, like how my body looks and all of that. And at that point, it was like everything about him and making sure that he was good. I pumped, you know, I did everything because he would never latch, but it was like just really, he came in and made me more nurturing. Like it took me from a place of where I could kind of be passive and not really have to care as much about certain aspects of things to being like, you know what? I know I'm a good person, but this is like exemplary of me being a selfless person and everything I do every day is just about this human being.
Exactly.
And I've never felt like that in my life. So for me to like look at, I'm always like, oh my gosh, like, is he breathing? Is he hot? Is he, you know, whatever. I couldn't even imagine. I didn't even look at kids the same way prior to. I will not lie. I was not a kids person prior to having a kid. So I was not the one that you would call and be like, girl, hey, you know, you want to come to this birthday party? Girl, what do I want to come to that party with? Is this some alcohol? Like, you know, like, what is there for me? Like, it just was like that. And it's unfortunate that, you know, but you got to know who you are. And so it made my whole dynamic change. And I'm just appreciative to have that other alternative perspective of how life could be, because I didn't even realize how much I was missing when I thought I was fulfilled with shopping and trips and all that. Then it's like, you know what? Now I can bring my son with me and we can have these mommy and son shopping days, or we can travel together and I can show him things, how much more enriching that is. Not to say you don't still need your personal time. You still need your girls' time. You still need your relationship.
Okay, we'll go ahead
and get
on the
phone, sweetie.
You got it? We both?
So that was kind of like the contrast of before and after.
Interesting. There's so much there that I want to pick apart for a few different reasons. So I think the first piece of that really resonated with me was just that whole, when you said like, I was not the one who was like, girl, I was like, I ain't having no children. I'm not getting married. That was the first disagreement my child's father and I ever had. I was like, I ain't doing that. Talking about baby names. What are we talking about names for? I was like, I don't believe in naming a child after you. My son's a junior.
Ah.
But I was like, I don't believe in it. I'm like, he should walk his own path. And I was like, and I'm not trying to get married. Everybody I know is divorced. My aunt and my uncles have been married for over 50 years. And that was the only marriage I saw that, you know, I never saw them argue. My aunt Rhoda and my uncle Renee. So I never saw them argue. I never saw them fight. I would see her hit him with a look. And he and everything would change.
50 plus years.
Wow. So, and I never saw them argue. I never, and not like, oh, you was just here for a few hours. I mean, my oldest aunt, she pretty much helped raise all of the her nieces and nephews. Every cousin I have at some point stayed at her house. So, you know, just seeing that and seeing how they made it work. But I also ever present that they lived in a different time period. So, you know, 50 plus years, right? In a different time period, they didn't believe in getting divorced, right? Really? You know, even if there was a child that happened outside the marriage, like nobody would ever know. It was going to be hush, hush. You'd never know anything. And so just that whole idea of, you know, they understood the sanctity of marriage, that till death do us part and doing it right, you know, wanting to build a family. Women back then, you know, my aunt, I don't think my aunt ever had a job. If she did, she had a job before I got here. I never saw her work. And so for me, it was just like your life is completely around your children. And my mother had 8 kids, 6 of us with my dad. I have a baby sister that's deceased. And my mom, you know, we'd go out and we'd go to the store. She would buy everything for herself. I mean, buy everything for the children, nothing for herself. And it was just like, and I have my mama, you know, being the oldest of my immediate siblings, like the nickname that I inherited was like Mama Number Two or Earn Mama Number Two. So it was just like, man, hell nah. I've already been a mother.
Yeah.
4 times over. Uh-huh. I'm good. I'm cool off that. I'm like,
y'all have a big family.
I want to do, you know, those things. And then like a lot of my siblings had children. So everybody in my family knew I didn't want kids. And I remember when I called my mom to tell her that I was pregnant. I mean, I had come out there to Arizona for my sister's baby shower and nobody knew I was pregnant. I ended up calling her, I think in like September maybe, and telling her that I was pregnant. When I told her, she just glossed all over the conversation. Like she didn't even pause. It wasn't a blip on her radar that I said I was having a baby.
Wow.
And they laughed. Even when we told my child's on his dad's side, that grandmother, you know, just like what? Because we had been together all these years, no baby. And everybody, like I said, knew I didn't want any. So just that piece, like, wow, you know,
you never think, knew you didn't want to have
girls. Negative. That was not on my plan, girl. My plan was I was finna travel. I was gonna have dual citizenship in another country. I was not staying in the U.S.
Was you gonna freeze your eggs?
Girl, no, I wasn't freezing eggs for what? Girl, to freeze eggs means that I'm on the fence about having a child. I was not having no kids, nobody's kids, nobody famous. And they got guys who I'm like, this would be my past. And you want my pizza?
Yeah.
Okay, go get your plate. And I was like, nope, I wouldn't have a baby for a pass. Famous and that. I was like, nah, wow. Not, it's not happening. I'm not having nobody's child. I was just like, if I have a child, I'm the Virgin Mary. Number two. Because it's not happening. So, but, you know, you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Because like I said,
I subsequently had, you know, my son. And that forever changed everything. And yeah. Now it's like, I look back in my life and I'm like, man, my life was trash. Like, it wasn't trash. I mean, we graduated from schools, we had successful, you know, all these different things. I graduated from law school, you know, just all of these. But it's nothing. You don't realize how impactful a child is on your life until you have them. But not just in a good way. Like, I mean, like you even mentioned how, you know, pumping and that little Tony wouldn't latch. And
yeah,
that was its own thing. I remember being in the hospital and my son wouldn't latch and I thought I wasn't giving him enough nourishment. And I remember crying. I remember my breast being sore, my nipples bleeding.
It's an emotional journey. It really is. It's physical and emotional. It's psychological. It's a lot of different things. Like all of that you're saying is like speaking right to like me and what I felt as well. And that's why I think that it's so important that moms talk about this journey, especially Black mothers, right? Because we have this like, the society expects so much of us. Like, you know, you go into the work world, you talk about returning back to work and just the expectations of all that are just so much higher for us. And the stakes are higher than they are for a lot of people. But to like back up to, like you said, like, okay, yes, you work these jobs. And like I said, I had this idea of planning my life out. Like, yeah, I'm gonna work hard and I'm gonna get President's Club and then I'm gonna have this business and I'm gonna have this baby. And it didn't go that way at all. And the most, I would say like, the most like telling of how you do not drive the vehicle of your life the way that God is steering explains to me and how things unfolded for me. So I remember 2 years before Tony was born, I worked at a company and I had just gotten this new role. I got promoted. I got all the way up to number 3 out of 66 people, hardest thing to do. And it's a huge company. And then I lost an account. By the time I left, I was number 8, totally missed President's Club. It only took took 3. And then guess when I got it? The same year I gave birth, when I was out for 3 months on maternity leave, is the year I won President's Club. And I walked across that stage with my like head held high to say, you have no idea how much I've sacrificed prior to like being pregnant and having a baby all in a year span. But it's like, that was the plan the whole time. And so it was like, you know, the pump in and all that just kind of goes in with it. But so 2015 through 8, I'd say, well, maybe 2015 through 17 were like the years that back to back I was like working and trying to give everything I could to hit this President's Club accolade so that way I can then go on and be like, oh yeah, I'll scale back and have a kid. And the irony is that from the time that I made the decision to say, okay, this is what my life is going to be after getting married, blah, 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 it actually took 3 years
for me to make the accomplishment. But the one thing that I had no control over is I thought this would be something that would happen before I became a mom. And it actually happened with me becoming a mom. It's like from the moment I found out I was pregnant, I had a different type of hustle. It was like what I put into my job wasn't just about a title anymore. It was more so like, okay, yes, I'm putting this in. I'm working hard, but I have to support another person. Yes, I do have a husband. I'm independent. I love to bring money to the table. Like, I enjoy working. I've always, like I told you, I'm a Barbie dolls. They always had jobs. So that's just me. And so my drive was different. Before it was just like, oh yeah, it's a trophy. Like, I could say I did this. But now it was like, it wasn't even like really the goal anymore. It was like, okay, I want to provide for my family in a way that I haven't. I got to get this money so that way I now have this business idea. I want to be able to put everything I have into it. I want to be able to be there for practices and after school. I want to take him to school. I want to pick him up. I want to just be a part of his life in every way that I can. And the way to do that is to become financially free and independent. So the year I won President's Club was the same year I gave birth. I won the award for performance the same year that I had 3 months of maternity leave. And then you have to keep in mind, I was pregnant 8 months all the way up until that prior year. So that whole span between pregnancy and birth and coming back to work was the hardest for me emotionally and everything. But on the opposite end of it, that's when God gave me everything. It was like, he opened up the idea for what the business was going to be. Mm-hmm. He opened up, hey, you worked hard, but guess what? Let me show you how hard you worked. Girl, you blew it out. Not only did I meet President's Club, I was the number one sales rep in the entire United States. So I won number one on top of being in the President's Club, and everything under that just like unfolded. So it's like, again, you want to talk about your timing and all that. I remember that award meant so much more to me as a mother than it could have ever meant to me before I became a mom. So timing is of essence, and God has a plan for everything. And I just think that, it's been a journey, and you do sacrifice a lot, but I just find that so crazy that was the time that God was like, okay, it's cool. Yep, you got it. You've been chasing this carrot for 3 years, but there you go. And you did it as a mom when you said you had to do that before you could ever become one. And had all these things, you know?
Mm-hmm. So you got it to make sure you got the award while you were pregnant. Like, did you walk across the stage while you were pregnant, or you got the award after you had given birth?
So I actually walked across after I gave birth.
Got it.
So 2018, that year when I had Tony, that was a rough year. I mean, going back to work, as I had prefaced earlier, was...
This is going to be the end of part one of this podcast, and I hope you will show up for part two of this podcast, where we will actually talk about Tony's brand, Tony by Tony, and we're going to get into what it means to be an entrepreneur as a Black woman, how you navigate that with, you know, matching that energy with being a mother, being a wife, you know, just all of the expectations that you have and juggling those responsibilities and how you do it. And so thank you so much for being on this episode.
Thank you for having me.
I appreciate, you know, the juggling around of everything, and you know, yeah. So shout out to all of you mommies who made it through another week. We are dope as fuck. So I hope I'll see you guys next week.